everyone, this is Sarah from The Journey and welcome to another episode of My Journey. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with My Journey, this is where we ask people to share their own experiences or path to parenthood. As we probably all know by now, everyone's journey is very unique. But what we have found is that sometimes things that people can share might well be relatable to you, and you might well be able to draw on some of their experiences and things they've learned. So we hope they really help. Now, today's is a bit of a special one. This is with somebody who has donated their eggs. Now, egg donation is an interesting topic. It's something that is gaining in awareness as we get older when we have kids, so egg donation is needed more. And obviously, as the nuclear traditional family unit changes, so lots of same-sex couples are now considering egg donation. So we thought it was a really interesting topic to bring up, and particularly from the perspective of the person who is actually donating their eggs. So hope you enjoy the conversation. This is with the lovely Jess, and she walks us through her whole experience, why she did it, and some of the really interesting things she learned. So I hope you enjoy. Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Hi, Sarah. My pleasure.
So, egg donation. This is definitely an unusual thing for somebody to willingly donate their eggs. It's an amazing thing to do. But can you just talk to us from the beginning? What was it that made you think or even consider doing this in the first place?
So I think I've got a very good, one of my best friends, Andrew, is a gay guy, and I've always said to him that he, when he found a partner and got to that point where he wanted to have children, that I would offer him some of my eggs. And then I think I was doing some research into it because I've always been aware that your fertility goes down when you're 35 years old, so I read up on that. And decided the beginning of this year to do some research as to the egg donation process. And when I was doing the research, then I read something that said you cannot do an anonymous donation past 36 years old. So I thought, as I'm 36 next May, I would crack on and give it a go see how it went. So I got in contact with a company called Altery, who helped facilitate these things and match you up with a donor couple. And I think for me, it was just, I've watched so many of my friends struggle with falling pregnant and suffer miscarriages. And you just feel so helpless sitting back and watching them go through it all and not being able to do anything. So it was just my ability to hopefully be able to help someone have a child that they so desperately wanted.
Well, that's really amazing. I mean, it would be great if more people took such a selfless decision. Now, obviously, you'd thought about this quite long and hard and you'd done some research. You have a partner and a little girl yourself. How did your partner respond to it? And was this something you discussed with him? And you mentioned that after 36, it's not anonymous in the UK. So does that mean that it is anonymous? Before that point?
Yeah. So with my partner, Matt, I think I'm quite lucky with him. He's always been very supportive. I think he knows I'm quite strong-minded. So generally, has to be quite supportive of a lot of my decisions. But I think he understood. I think his only reservations were that when the child turns 18, they do get my contact details and my last known address and my name. And he was worried about how that would be if they decided to reach out and meet me. And also that he was just worried to make sure that it wasn't any, I wouldn't have any issues on my health in the long term following on from the egg donation. So actually, as part of the whole process, you have couples counselling. So we actually had a Skype counselling session, the two of us together, so to try and make sure that he was happy with all of it. He's absolutely fine. He's absolutely fine. And yes, so now these days, the legalities are that when the child turns 18, they can actually get your contact details. So I think everyone needs to be aware of that. My personal feeling is that I don't mind them having my contact details before. So I'm very lucky that I've had, when I did my donation, I left a card for my couple to tell them that if they wanted to reach out to me before and get my contact details, they could. But also if they don't ever want my contact details, that's absolutely fine. So they have contacted me back to say that they if are successful, they would like to meet me in person. Which I'm totally happy with. For me, as I say, the child wouldn't be my child. It might look like me, but it wouldn't. It's not mine. It's you know, that couple have desired and wanted that child so much for, you know, for so many years. And they're the ones that are putting all the hard work in, really. I just did 2 weeks of, you know, a few injections here and there. And I quite liked being sedated because I got a good night. I got a good 20 minute sleep as well. So actually, it didn't really. It's a difficult process, but it's not really that bad. And it's 2 weeks of your life. So
that's an amazing attitude, because I think some people conceptually struggle with the idea of egg donation, because, you know, the feeling is, for some people at least, that, you know, genetics mean that it's not yours. But I think it's completely the right attitude to take, that actually the person raising the child, especially right from the beginning, is really their parents at the end of the day. Now, you also talked about the process that you went through. Now, can you walk us through right from the beginning to the end? So I presume when you contacted the company that you use, they did a number of checks even before you started the actual kind of physical process of egg donation. So can you just give us a bit of an idea of what they wanted to know about you, any tests, and that whole part of it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. It's only been about 4 months. But so when I first got in contact with them, they do, I think I had 3 telephone conversations with them. So they basically kind of do a little mini interview with you to make sure, to find out why you want to do an egg donation. I think to make sure that you're of sound mind a little bit, and just to find out a bit about you. So they want to know, you know, your age, what your, you know, your marital status, your kids, the reasons why, do you want any further children yourself. So they're really, really thorough. I also did a questionnaire online, which was about 3 A4 pages long of questions, so asking loads of different questions about what's important to me morally, my education, you know, tons of detail, my hobbies, all of this. So Altri, because they do the matching, so they work with loads of fertility clinics, UK or nationwide, and they really focus on the importance of not just physically matching people, but also by characteristics, personality characteristics, even education, because what they want to make sure is that if the child turns 18 and wants to meet you, that actually you're kind of from a similar background to what their parents are. So it's not such a shock to the child and, you know, for everyone involved. So actually it was quite reassuring that they were so thorough. So I did the online questionnaire. I had to provide some photos, 2 photos of me as a child and 1 as an adult. And then they sent me through the post a test to do my AMH levels. So to check what my egg
reserve,
exactly, that's the word I was looking for, was. So that was all fine. I think mine was 18.6 or something, I believe.
Very nice.
And then I, after that, then they said, right, we'll get in contact when we match you. And then I think it was about 4 weeks later, I think they rang me, so they'd found a match. And actually, it's really funny. I can't really describe to you, like, the emotions. Actually, I was in public when they rang me in a coffee shop drinking green tea, and actually I burst into tears. I was just so happy that I'd been matched. Got matched, and then from the matching stage, I then went down. I was their clinic was in at King's Fertility in Denmark Hill, so I went down to King's Fertility in Denmark Hill. They did a provisional scan. I had some paperwork to do. The provisional scan was just to look at my how many eggs I'd produced that month. I think I produced like 21 on the first month.
And that was with stimulation, was
without
it?
Without stimulation.
Without, okay.
So there's no stimulation, so you go in for your first scan. And then I think I actually went back for another scan the following month just to do, I had blood tests and stuff to do. I think I produced 19 eggs that month. And then we kickstarted. They were all happy with all the test results and everything.
Do you know what they tested for when they tested all your bloods?
No, I don't. I know that they check for sexually transmitted diseases. I know they check they check mine because I've got an androgenic thyroid. They check my thyroid levels, but I'm not sure what else they did check.
So you don't know if they did genetic testing or anything like that?
I don't know. No, I'm not sure. They do. You do have to fill in a genetic questionnaire. Mm. They do state it is very, you know, you can get legally in trouble if you answer it incorrectly. But I don't know whether they actually do the testing or they just rely on that for the process or not. So I did all of those. And then I literally just kickstarted I went in again, got all my medication from them. they sent it through the post. So I had one injection that I did for about 3 days, and then I started another injection. I think I did those for about 11, 12 days overall. My cycle was slightly extended because my eggs needed maturing a couple more days. So I did it slightly longer than maybe, I think the normal person usually is about 14 days. I think mine was 15 or 16.
Did you do the injections yourself or did your partner do them?
I did the injections myself. I deliberately did my injections mostly in front of my daughter, my 4-year-old, because then I thought I had to be pretty brave, and it's good for her to see, you know, injections aren't scary, they're absolutely fine. So then I kind of just cracked on and got on with it. And I was really nervous about the injections because, I don't know, you just don't envisage injecting yourself ever, do you? But
did you get used to it?
Yeah, totally fine. And you can get a choice of doing it in your stomach or your thigh. I'm got quite meaty thighs, so I did it in my thighs. They do recommend you do it in a meatier area. They demonstrate when you go in exactly how to do it. So you kind of pinch a bit of fat and you inject into the fat that you've pinched. I also did a video diary as well throughout my entire process that I've, from matching to, I think before matching, actually when I signed up with Altree, to matching, every single step of the way, my first injection, everything, I videoed it all. Because I wanted to keep it for my couple, should they want it, for if a child is born, for the child, should they want it, just so they feel like they were part of that process from the beginning, because they really were. For me, you know, in my head, all I was thinking about was the couple every step of the way. So I felt like they were there, even if they weren't physically there. So I just felt it'd be nice for them to be able to really visualise exactly, you know, from the beginning,
how it was. Did the injections, so taking these hormones, did they make you feel different at all? Or did you not really notice too much?
No, do you know what? I thought I was going to go crazy on them as well, because I've, since having my daughter, my PMS, because they say it's like PMS, since having my daughter, I'm literally the devil 3 days before my period for 3 days. I'm just awful and irrational. And I thought that I would be exactly the same on these injections. And actually, it didn't do anything. It did not impact me whatsoever. Well, in my mind. My other half might say it's different. But I felt totally normal. And I was really worried about that bit. And honestly, I had nothing to worry about. It was the only hassle of the injections is you have to do them. My time slot was between 5 and 7 every night. And you have to be strict. You cannot miss that timeline because you need that steady injection, you know, dose.
Yeah.
Through the period of time. So, you know, it's like it was fireworks night and I had to make sure I got back from the fireworks display in order to do, actually it was my trigger injection the night of the fireworks display, but, you know, I had to make sure I got back in time for that. And you know, even like with the trigger injection, they have to do the operation 36 hours exactly after your trigger injection.
So that's the egg retrieval.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was the timings more than anything, which when you're leading a slightly busy, hectic lifestyle, was actually quite hard because you get that, you know, you get something that comes up on your phone to remind you to do something and usually you kind of mute it for 2 hours. Whereas this was like, right, I've got to do it now.
So you did the injections, and then, as you say, 36 hours after the last one, you had to go in and get removal.
Yeah, so I did also quite a lot of scans. So I think I had 5 or 6 scans throughout that 2-week period. They usually say 3 or 4, but they can never say exactly how many. Mine were because my eggs just took a little bit longer to mature, which apparently is totally normal. I was really panicking about it. I got quite upset about it at one stage because I thought that I wasn't going to produce enough mature eggs for my couple. But actually they were like, it's totally fine. They just extend the cycle. So you just inject a couple of days longer. So I had my scans. I did blood tests as well, about 5 blood tests throughout those 2 weeks. So they were just checking the levels were right and everything. And then I went in for my egg retrieval. So I did my trigger injection. I think it was a Saturday night. I did my trigger injection at 8 or 9 o'clock. And then I went in first thing in the morning on Monday. I was a bit nervous about it because I thought, you know, I was a bit nervous about being sedated and going under.
Did they talk to you before about what to expect from the process of retrieval?
Yeah, they just say you basically don't remember anything because you're sedated, and they say you can have some spotting and some period pains for a few days afterwards.
So you went in, and yeah. How do they sedate you? Do they just give you an injection or?
Yes, so you have an intravenous drip in your hand, or mine was. I was really lucky. King's Fertility, I mean, obviously I didn't choose where I got to go, but they were just so good there. They were lovely, really kind. I really put my mind at ease. So they come in, I went into a little booth bit, and then the doctor came in, the anaesthetist came in, the nurse came in, all talked me through the process. It's literally 20 minutes long, the process, so it's so quick. If you have no idea it's going to be that quick. And I think I had 11 mature eggs, so I knew that before by the scan. They thought that I had some, decent, at least 11 decent-sized follicles. But with the follicles, they can be great, but actually they can open them and then there might not even be an egg in there. So you don't really know until after the operation. So I went in, I was just nervous. I just wanted to find out how many I had done. So you can't eat or anything for the night before. And went in, and then they put the drip in. And then I literally came to, like, 20 minutes later, had a great sleep, came to, ate a load of food. It's quite funny because I did a video, like, literally I woke up and then 2 minutes later was shoving food in my mouth. And then I did a video for my couple, and actually when I look back at it now, I look totally out of it, and I'm literally like got food all around my face. But I was totally unaware at the time. And I was totally fine. So they let me go 2 hours later. My other half came and picked me up. You have to have someone to pick you up. So he came and picked me up, and we got a train home, which took about 2 hours, and I was totally fine. So, and then I drove a little distance, not very far, but I drove 5 minutes. I actually thought, they tell me that you can be a bit tired, so I spent the afternoon in bed. I think I would have slept even if I hadn't have just been sedated. So I made the most of not having to look after my daughter and slept all afternoon, which was great.
Sounds nice.
It was a very pleasurable experience. So I have to say, you know, in regards to if anyone's wondering about doing an egg donation and they're panicking, and everyone can respond differently to things, but drugs and everything, but I have to say it really was not a massive deal from the physical side of things, you know, from the egg retrieval. I found it really, really easy. It was just for me the logistics. It was just what time to do the what time I had to get back in the evening to do my injections. And because they can't tell you in advance, you're going to need a scan on Monday, Wednesday, and then the following week, you have to be really flexible. So you have to have 2 weeks of availability where you can literally pull out 2 days in advance to go to another scan.
How did that work? Because obviously you're a career girl as well. So how did that work from the perspective of your work?
And you can do this. So I spoke to Altree beforehand and said, ideally, I would need my scans at a local hospital. So I set up my scans a hospital which was about 20 minutes from my office, so I could go and get my scans and my blood tests. And they were
really, and they arranged that all for you?
Yeah, they arranged it for me. And then I just had to facilitate, ring Kings when I was there to say, can you send through the referral for my bloods? And, you know, if you need me to have another scan, you need to send the referral now. And then I booked in the following scan before I left. So you have to be organised. You have to, you know, you can push for that. That's absolutely fine. I think my couple had to pay a little bit extra just in to enable me to do that. But for me, King's Hospital was about 2 hours away. Wow. So it was a bit too tricky for me to get there. You know, as I say, like the 6 times over the 2 week period. Might be 6 or 7 I actually went there. But
and
yeah,
did you tell work what you were doing, or did you, can you just say, oh, I've got a medical thing that I need to deal with?
Yeah, so I told, I think, and I think it would depend on where you work. I told the two directors I work alongside what I was doing. So that made it feasible for me. You know, and I just said to the staff, I manage members of staff, so I just said to them I was working out in the London office, or, you know, I had a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment. So you don't need to have to tell someone. If you don't feel comfortable telling people what you're doing, then you don't have to. You can make up good enough excuses.
People usually don't ask if you say you've got a medical thing anyway. Most people who are vaguely sensitive won't inquire too much more.
Or you'll have
that.
A convenient root canal.
And you, how many follicles did, or how many eggs did you get in the end?
So they got 11 mature, 11 mature eggs. And then I don't know still the final number, which is, it was really hard, but I do
know. So they
know,
won't tell you that?
Not at the moment, but what I do know is that, so I had the egg retrieval on the Monday, I spoke to Altru on the Friday, and they'd spoken to the couple, and I know at least 3 eggs were growing really, really well. And the embryos, should I say.
Yeah,
3 embryos.
Because obviously then they use the father's sperm to
Which was the other thing, actually. The one thing that surprised me, which I didn't foresee, was that on the Monday, I gave the nurse, when I came out of my operation, the card and the gift for my couple. And then she came back in about 15 minutes later and said, oh, I've given them the gift, they're so grateful, thank you so much. And I was like, what? So they were in the building because they literally put the sperm straight in.
Wow.
So they get the sample then.
So you use fresh sperm.
Yeah. So, which makes sense, but I just didn't foresee it. So then I kind of found myself looking in the waiting room to see whether I could spot anyone that looked vaguely like me. Mm. But it was really nice, because it was nice to know that they really are on that journey with you.
Yeah.
Even at that, it was just, yeah, it was a really nice feeling. So, yes.
So the nurse handed your card and the gift that you'd done. And did you give, like, a memory stick with a video diary, or did you do that later?
No, so I've put that in my card that should they want the video diary, then they can have it, because they can see my face in it. So then it then takes the anonymity away. That word I can never get it right.
We know what
so,
you mean.
And also I kind of need to be sensitive for if it doesn't work, then they might not want this video diary. So I've basically offered it to them along with my contact details should they want them, so they can get in contact either with Kings or Altree, and they will get in contact with me, and then I can give it to them. But no, so I got her an Astley Clark bracelets, like one of their luck bracelets, just for her to have on, so hopefully it brings her luck. And just say a card just outlining all of this. And then they sent me a really lovely gifting card via Altru that I got about 2 weeks ago, which they got me a necklace, and then they wrote that they'd got the child a matching necklace, so that we both got one. And you know, hopefully in the future then we can come together at some point. And then, as I say, they wrote me the most beautiful card. So it's
so
lovely.
So really nice. Will you find out, will you get notification of a pregnancy?
Yes, so you legally find out through the process. If they have a successful birth, you legally find out what year that child was born and what sex it was.
And when do you get notification of that? When it's
I think sometimes you have to chase sometimes. depends on your clinic. Altery, so I might not find out if she falls pregnant. I know that she's doing, so we're end of November now. I know that she's planning on doing her transfer. So she froze the embryos and she's planning on doing her transfer in the new year. That's all I know at the moment. I think from what they said in the card, that I think they would tell me if they fell pregnant, but we'll have to wait and see. So I don't know. So watch this space for next year.
Wow, that's just incredible. And do you think that you had this much information because you were, you know, very happy to get it? Could you get no information if you wanted? How much kind of say have you had in this?
Yeah, I mean, you decide everything. So if I didn't want to find out anything, I'd just tell Altria I don't want to find out anything. And as I say, you sometimes do have to chase your clinic to find out whether there's been a live birth. So you could easily not find out if you didn't want to.
And all those 11 that you donated, does that one couple get all of them? And can they use them for subsequent children? So say, for example, you ended up, they froze five, fertilised eggs, and they used one and it worked. Would they then be able to use them again afterwards?
You have an option. So basically, I got in my paperwork before I did the donation, I had an option whether I would like to allow them to have all of them or just one live birth and then that's it. Or I could also allow the couple to have what they want and then the rest go to medical research. And I think you actually do get an option then to offer it to someone else in the paperwork. I can't remember exactly the details, but yeah, it was just for my couple. I don't know why, as I say, even though you haven't met someone, you feel like you have such a connection to them. So I'm so gunning for them that yeah, they're for my couple. So should they want any more, they can go for it. It'd be a bit bonkers to have more than two, but should they, and that's totally fine with me.
And now this whole process was over kind of physically, you know, how do you feel? Like, maybe, I guess, now that it's over physically, now that it's kind of, you know what's happening and they're going to give it a go in the new year, how do you feel now after you've gone through the whole process versus before? Was it what you expected? Are you still really happy that you did it? Do you have any kind of major changes in the way you felt about it?
It was way easier than I expected. I thought it was going to be really tough, and I thought I was going to go a bit mental with the hormones, and I really didn't. And you feel bloated. You feel like you're about, at the end of, because of my course was extended as well, you feel like you're about 4 months pregnant by the end of those 2 weeks. You feel like there's something in your tummy, and I think the bit surprised me as well was that, you know, I met with a friend who at the time was like 10 weeks pregnant, and you know, I said, oh, how big's the embryo? And she was saying, oh, it was about 21 millimetres or something. And it was really odd because I had 10 follicles that were over, 16, 17 millimetres each. So actually I was kind of more pregnant than she was at the time. So you do feel like you are, you know, pregnant because you know that there's something in there and your tummy's bloated. But I honestly, it was so much easier. I feel like I was more emotionally involved than I kind of felt affected than I thought I would, not from, as I say, from the hormones, but just how much you want to succeed for that couple. Like, I was so upset when I thought my eggs were not maturing fast enough and I might fail. I was like devastated because you know that couple, how much they must want this baby, that they have invested themselves in emotionally, you know, financially, they're giving their everything. And you know that they would have, you know, my couple, 4 rounds of IVF, they've tried to do it themselves without any, you know, assistance from, you know, a donor. And that going through their emotions and making the decision to then reach out to a donor, which I imagine is not an easy decision. And then if I'd failed, I think I would have felt horrific. So I did not foresee that, and I didn't foresee the connection I feel like I've got with them at all, and just how much I'm gunning for them. Just like, you know, they're in my back of my mind all the time. But those are the things I did not foresee. But I still feel exactly the same. You know, for me, as I say, the child wouldn't be mine if it was born. It would just be lovely to see them happy. But that's the only connection for me.
So nice.
With the child. I just want to be able to help just one person, you know, because I think all of us are touched in life by watching people go through fertility struggles. All of us, you know, we've got friends that have struggled, and you speak to someone, you know, even, you know, as I mentioned to Sarah before this, I had a bit of a midlife crisis and got two additional ear piercings yesterday, and I was talking to the piercer about doing it. I said, oh, I'm nervous about getting piercings, which is ridiculous because I've been injecting myself with, you know, for my egg donation up until about 4 weeks ago. And she said, oh, do you know what? My sister nearly got to that stage because she actually had, you know, 15 miscarriages and, you know, she did IVF and wasn't successful. And every single person you speak to has somehow touched, you had someone close to them that has had fertility issues.
Definitely.
That has not fallen pregnant, that has suffered miscarriages. It is happening everywhere. And it is so heartbreaking sitting back and not being able to do something when you are watching your loved ones in pain. And if I can just do something for that one couple, then, I mean, for just 2 weeks of inconvenience in my life, just why wouldn't you, you know, for me?
It is an amazing thing you've done, and I'm more than convinced that the couple that you've helped will think exactly the same, and I'm sure you've helped them immeasurably. Now, if someone who's listening to this was thinking about doing egg donation themselves, is there any bit of advice you'd give them?
I think you need to make sure that you are emotionally doing it for the right reasons. You need to make sure that actually there's nothing in you that, I don't know, I spoke to a few people, you know, that were looking for egg donors. You know, I've been on a lot of the Facebook groups and I've, you know, spoken to a lot of different people. And they said, you know, they'd found a known egg donor actually that was interested in giving them, you know, some eggs. But they didn't feel comfortable with their reasonings of why they were doing it. You know, one of them couldn't have any more children herself because she wasn't able to, it wasn't good for her health to be pregnant. But then she was willing to give it. It just, I don't know if that was a healthy reason. So I think you need to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, and you need to make sure that you are going to feel comfortable. You know, if that child finds you, the likelihood is these days with DNA testing, ancestry, see, I've done an ancestry DNA test, that you are going to feel happy to be found. And if you are found, how are you going to handle it? And I think you need to think about that. And if you don't think you're going to handle it well, if you think that you, you know, want nothing to do with that child, I don't think you should be an egg donor. Because we don't know what's going to happen to the children, you know, moving on, what their parents are going to say to them. They might not tell them, and then the egg donor might find out through some present that they've been given to do a DNA test. And then, you know, they try and find you because they feel like they've been lied to and it's not what they foresaw in their head. And I think, so you need to be willing to be found. And if you are found, you need to be there with open arms. And as I say, for the right reasons. You're not their parent, but you need to be there as a friend. And I think those are, I would say, the most important things, because I'm one of those people. It's probably very similar to what Sarah's like, in that I research everything to the T before I leap into anything. And I did a lot of research on egg donation before jumping
Where did you find, I was going to ask you, what were the kind of resources that you found to be most helpful? And, you know, you mentioned Facebook groups and things. Yeah. So can you talk about some of the things that you found to be most helpful when you were doing your research?
Yeah, so Altruis were incredible. They arm you with research and stuff. And I did join a lot of Facebook groups, I think. And I joined Facebook groups for people looking for egg donors. I joined Facebook groups for egg donors. I joined Facebook groups for children conceived by egg donors. To try and get a really well-rounded picture of it. And as I say, like, the egg donors really gave you that, and it really got you to understand what these people were going through, you know, when they were looking for an egg donor and listening to people's stories, you know, it's heart-wrenching about their journeys and, you know, their infertility issues that they'd faced. And then the egg donors was useful because they would be like, oh, I'm starting this injection and I've come really bloated or my leg's gone a bit red after I've done the injection. Is that okay? So actually you learn quite a lot.
Was there a like a moderator in some of these groups who was like a medical expert who could kind of... could answer some of the questions? Because the only thing is sometimes, and I guess because on the journey we're so obsessed with science, in fact, sometimes when you have these groups there can be lots of opinions that aren't necessarily based on fact. So how did you navigate that?
So the egg donor one was the Altruy egg donor Facebook group. So if you have any issues, you can post on there. And there's a lady that's obviously has been a donor through Altruy that set it up as a moderator. And she obviously works very closely out with Altruy.
That's useful.
Yes. So with that side, not, I don't think the egg donor one, I don't think did. The one where they were looking for egg donors, sorry, I don't think that did. And then the children conceived by egg donors didn't. I found that one the hardest to be a member of, you know, because there were so many people with very strong opinions and there were a lot of children who had grown into adults on there that had been lied to and were really struggling. They'd found out later on in their life they were conceived by a donor.
So do Altruy have a policy where the parents, where they dictate whether or not the parents say, or is it, are they completely uninvolved?
No, they cannot legally be involved. So it is always down to the parents should they wish to tell their children.
But as you say, it's funny because I was reading the other day about how these DNA testing kits have given rise to a huge amount of kind of people finding out that actually their parents are not who they thought they were.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that this is something that, you know, people might come up against.
It's huge. And I think a lot of the things this group wasn't just actually children conceived by egg donors, it was children conceived by sperm donors as well. And I was shocked at some of the stories on there because there was a lot in America, but where there had been sperm donors 30 odd years ago. And we're talking like they found through DNA testing that they had hundreds of half sisters and brothers. I mean, hundreds. And
I suppose this is before it was so regulated.
Yeah, exactly. And it was really heartbreaking to read. And actually, I posted one thing on there asking for advice on what I should include in before you go in for your final retrieval appointment. You get a questionnaire thing that you can fill out saying basically it's given to the child when they reach 18. So you've got to write like you're writing to the child, which is really hard actually. And so I posted on this group, is there anything you recommend I include on here?
Clever.
And actually, I've got some very strong opinions back from people that were saying they were very anti-anonymous donation. Because they'd obviously gone through bad experiences themselves. Mm. But I think it was more than just that.
Well, it was
their own experience. Their parents had decided not to tell them. They found out, then you were angry. Mm. So don't let that put you off. You know, I didn't let it put me off.
Done in a very different way anyway. It's much more regulated.
It's very regulated. And as I say, no donation is anonymous anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So you really need to take that into consideration. And you will be found probably.
So this pack that you did for your child, your egg donation, I should say. So will that be offered to them at 18, or will they have the right to request that pack?
They have the right to request.
Okay, so they may not even request it.
And it is literally the hardest thing I've ever written because you're writing to a child. That and you don't want to write anything in there that's going to disappoint them. They've been waiting 18 years potentially for this document. You don't want to write anything that's going to disappoint them, anything that there's going to be like, you know, they've probably built it up a little bit in their heads, I would have thought, by that point, a little
possibly,
bit potentially
yeah.
as well. So it was really, really hard. It was really, really hard. So, you know, hopefully. hopefully what I wrote was all right. But it's hard not to be emotional when you're writing it as well, because you're just hoping so much there is a child. And it's so weird to think, you know, in 18 years, you know, I'm going to be, you know, a lot older. I'm 53. And I kind of wrote that on there. I'm probably going to be a lot wrinklier by the time you read this. But and it's odd because you're writing to a child that might not even be born. Mm. So you don't even know if it's going to be seen. So, that was quite hard to write it. But nice. And hopefully, fingers crossed, there is a child that gets born. And hopefully, you know, they have the option of reading it. So.
Well, I think what you've done is incredible on so many levels. And I hope this has, you know, given some people who might be considering a little bit more information. And also, this may be useful for people who are going to be using donor eggs. Because I think, as you say, there's not only the physical side of things, but there's a lot of emotion that goes around it. So hopefully people listening will take something from it. And I honestly think what you've done is incredible. So thank you for sharing your story. Pleasure.
And I have one last thing is that, I mean, it hasn't put me off. So I'm still on track. I'm doing one for my friend next year. He has decided he wants to get on with it next year. So I'm definitely doing one for... And then I have got someone I met on one of the Facebook groups for a known donation. She's just paying off her last round of IVF because she's on her fourth round of IVF that wasn't successful. So she's paying that off. And then I might be starting with her in the new year doing an egg donation. So it has not put me off. And then I'll be done. Three is enough for me. I don't think we need more of me in the world than that.
No, so, we need more.
But yeah, so honestly, it's such a rewarding thing to do. If you're doing it for the right reasons, it's totally fine. The process is, it's not easy, but it's, you know, so much easier than I ever saw. And it's so rewarding.
What an incredible gift. So yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, and good luck with the next.
Thank you.